Faith Lessons for Life. I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 this evening as we seek to conclude our series of looking at this chapter of faith. This chapter has highlighted down through history many, many people and events and instances where faith has been involved, and God is honoring these people. It's an honor to be in the Scriptures and with the Lord saying, by faith, they did this or they did that. Tonight, as we draw this to a conclusion, as you might be familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, it closes with a very interesting list, if we could say it that way, interesting list of people and events, things that took place that God honored, that exhibited faith in Him. Now, as we consider these things, I want us to realize that faith is just not something that is contained only in the Scriptures and only for biblical characters. God honors faith. And God has called upon us to be men and women and children of faith. Let's look at our Bibles in Hebrews chapter 11, and I'd like to read this passage together. You can follow along quietly as I read out loud. But Hebrews chapter 11. But before we do that, I do want to go over our memory verse. What's the reference? Hebrews? Good job. All right. Now we're going to, I'll start you, and then you finish it, okay? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Good job. Good job. Looks like most of you got it. That's a good verse to have in your memory. Take it with you wherever you go. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Impossible. To please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. All right, let's now draw our attention down to verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. How many of you would like to be involved or included in a list such as that? Well, maybe certain aspects of it. But this list tears at my heart as I consider the things that people had to deal with, the things that people went through in the name of God, in the name of serving, in the name of faithful, being faithful to the Lord. As you read over these things, I trust that your heart was touched. And I want to remind us that there are people today who I believe fit right in to this list. I think one of the marvelous things of the scriptures is that it is timeless. And as God describes faith, and as he describes these different acts and how he honors this, the faith that is involved in these things, there are people today that are enduring persecutions and struggles and sufferings that deserve honor for their faith. Now, as we talk about faith lessons for life, tonight, point number one would be that faithfulness demands personal sacrifice. Faithfulness demands personal sacrifice. Realize, I trust that if you and I desire to serve Christ with all that we have, to be faithful and pleasing to Him, it demands that we put aside ourselves. It demands that we put aside our agenda. It demands that we put aside whether we live or whether we die, that choice. Faithfulness demands personal sacrifice. You look here at this list, and it begins here with the writer saying, "And what shall I more say?" In other words, I could go on and on and on and talking about faith and talking about how it was exemplified throughout history. For the time would fail me to tell of, and then he gives a list of six names. Gideon. Now, when we think of Gideon, children, look up at me now. When I say Gideon, can you tell me something about Gideon? You know anything about the man Gideon? Remember? He was a warrior. Good. Absolutely. Now, did he start out as a warrior? No, he didn't. He started out as a very timid man who was threshing wheat, trying to hide in a wine press away from the enemy. And God called this timid man to deliver the people from the Midianites. And here Gideon is. In this chapter of faith, do we remember how he exemplified faith? Anyone? Okay, all right, he gathered a great army, a great number, and God said what? Two men. And so it dwindled down to, what was the final number? To 300. And God asked Gideon to go against the entire army of the Midianites with 300. Does that take faith? Yeah. Yes, it does. To be the general of armies, look at your 300 men and say, "Men, God has called us to do this task. And he will see us through. Let's move out." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being a soldier under Gideon? Gideon is in this chapter. He exemplified faith. Now, let's not be too critical, because each one of these men and each of the people that we have looked at have had negative things in their life. There are things that did not honor God. We can think of Gideon. We could pick on him, the fact that he kept asking God for a sign. But God is not looking. God is interested here in their faith. Notice, this is what God is remembering here, his faith. Next name you see is Barak. He's not as popular, but he went out and fought a great battle. You see Samson. Children, tell me a little bit about Samson. Now, come on. Yes, Chloe. He got his hair cut off, yes. What happened when his hair was cut? His eyes were then poked out. Yes. He lost his strength. I mean, remember one thing about Samson was that he was strong, right? The strongest man alive. Alright? There you go. Right? Like that picture, Ian. That's right. You want to show everybody? Good coloring. There's a strong man. Samson was strong. But that was because God was with him. And he obeyed God. But when he disobeyed the Lord, he lost his strength. And what is remembered about him was his final act. Who can remember that final act? Yes. Yes. Yes, in the book of Judges says that he killed more in his death than he did in his life. You see, the life of Samson, we can really tear apart to shreds and say he was wrong, he was bad, da 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 da. But yet here we see, again, God honors faith. It demands personal sacrifice, and we see that in the life of Samson, in the life of Gideon. They had to put aside their own agendas to please God, to do what God desires. Well, you have Jephthah, and if you remember Jephthah, he was also a judge. He made a very interesting vow, and he kept that vow, killing his own daughter. But he was also one who delivered Israel, the people of Israel. Then we have David. We have David, and there are several things in the life of David where he exemplified faithfulness. In this list, it talks about lions and stopping the mouths of lions. And David, if we remember, was one as a shepherd boy. Killed a lion. He killed a lion. David. And then Samuel. Samuel, the first of the great line of prophets. And Samuel stood up for righteousness during a difficult time in Israel's history, during the transition between the judges to the king. And he was the one that anointed Saul and anointed David. And following after him came many different prophets that spoke God's truth to the nation of Israel. So, if we look at these men, and we think about, they're in this chapter on faith, and we look at the following list, we realize that these men, at different points in their lives, put aside their own agendas in order to please God and to serve Him. Some of them did it more than others. But nevertheless, God honors their faith and honors the fact of their personal sacrifice. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire. When you read that phrase, who comes to mind? Quench the violence of fire. Okay. You think of the book of Daniel. You got Daniel in the lion's den. The lion's mouths were closed. There's another story in Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you kids remember them? Shadrach, and Abednego, if you want to go Benny style. What happened in their life? Where were they put? They were thrown into a fiery furnace. Remember, it was a fiery furnace. And what happened? Did they die?
No.
They didn't. God went in and saved them. Very good. God delivered them, and then to the point that they walked out of the fiery furnace and didn't even smell like smoke. And remember, the guards that threw them in died because the fire was so hot. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Remember Elijah and Elisha, both prophets, and they ministered to widows who had their children die, and their children were raised back to life. There's many instances, if you think of Elijah and Elisha, where they fit into a lot of these categories. Escaping the edge of the sword. Who wanted to kill Elijah? Who?
Jezebel.
Yes. I've heard a lot of little. I couldn't distinguish the names, but yes, Jezebel. But God delivered Elijah. In fact, Elijah never died, did he? Elijah went up a fire chariot. And others were tortured. Interesting word here, this word tortured. There is an actual torturing device that looks like a big round wheel. And this word here it contains this very same word in the Greek language. A big round wheel, almost like a drum. And this torturing device would be where people, where these believers would be stretched across this as the skin across the top of the drum, and then they would be beaten to death as someone would beat a drum. And this is the idea here when we see this word torture. This is what comes to mind to many who understand this, the ancient languages there. Incredible torture that people went through for the cause of Christ. I brought up with me an interesting book called The Fox's Book of Martyrs. How many of you have ever read this? Yes, okay. Very difficult read at times. But yet it is very telling of what believers went through throughout the ages. You can think of Stephen. Remember Stephen? What happened to Stephen? He was stoned to death. Let's remember, folks, faith demands personal sacrifice. All Stephen would have had to do would have been what? Stop talking about Jesus. And he would have avoided being stoned. But see, God does not honor how we can get out of suffering. God honors when people stand in the fire and endure it. You know, sometimes this personal sacrifice means life. And the very sad reality is that this is going on today. As people around the world, listen church, people around the world are giving their lives for Jesus Christ. That's happening today. They suffer for the name of Christ. They deserve to be in such a list as they are faithful through the torment and the torture. Fox's Book of Martyrs goes through and lists the apostles and how they died. And then it goes through the persecution of Nero and it goes through much of church history. Sharing what took place in the lives of believers. It's a sad reality. And I trust that at some point I'd like to have a focus in that regard of the persecuted church here. And maybe someday it would be great to meet someone and have someone share with us what it's like to live in a country where you are beaten for the cause of Christ. I've heard testimonies from folks and how they have to just be so careful about life, that things are so secretive, and you just have to be careful who you tell what. Others were tortured, verse 35, not accepting deliverance. You see that? They were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Why is that phrase in there? Well, that is in there because the persecutors would be demanding, deny Christ and you will be saved. We'll take you down. But here, the faithfulness is that they endured the suffering, not wanting to be released. They wanted to stand with God, not deny it. Dear ones, as we look at a message like this, we have got to take to heart the reality that this may come to us someday. And as we look at these truths, we need to purpose in our hearts, I'm going to be faithful, God. Personal sacrifice, all right. I am willing. I'm going to make a choice. Because the time may come when you or I, and we all might face this. Verse 36, others had trial, cruel mockings, and scourgings. Yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. 37, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder. Do you believe that one? Sawn asunder. The history tells us, it's not in the scripture, the history tells us that this is what happened to the prophet Isaiah. To be sawn in two. We're tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Let's remember something about the prophets. Remember Elijah and Elisha. They wandered around. They stayed at one place, and then they would go to another. They didn't have homes of their own. Think of John the Baptist, a prophet that God called to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He lived in the wilderness and ate locusts and wild honey. They were considered poor and destitute by the world's standards. In other words, they were considered to really be worthless part of society. But I want you to notice this next phrase in verse 38. We must not miss this next phrase. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. Think about that phrase for a minute. Of whom the world was not worthy. Notice the context of this is right in the middle of the destitute, the afflicted, the torment. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These are not the rich people of the earth. These are not the people that have all the earthly success. These are not people that are valued and honored on a worldly or earthly scale. These are people that are considered to be worthless. But yet, what do we see about how God looks at them? What does God value? What we see here, that of whom the world was not worthy, this world does not deserve to see such faith. You see, people of faith have an impact in this world. In fact, a faith blessing for life, true faith is a blessing to this world. Dear ones, God is you and I here, and He asks us to be men and women of faith, because true faith is a blessing to this world. This world is not worthy of the grace of God. Just like you and I are not worthy of the grace of God. But through Jesus Christ, what He has done for us. This world deserves the wrath of God, the judgment of God. But yet, we are here and are called upon to live lives of faith. And I dare say that lives of faith, when the world sees faith, true faith, lived out, it truly causes them to think again about their own lives. Why would you give your life for your faith in God? That's got to make people question what they're doing and the persecuting. True faith is a blessing to this world. Notice that it's not the suffering saint who is considered worthless, or rather they are considered of great value. The world takes upon itself to rid themselves of the poor and the destitute, yet they do not really realize the true blessing that it is to have faithful people, people that love God walking in here on this earth. You know, remember Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, be salt of the earth, and we talked about this before. Be men and women who live for Jesus Christ so that we slow down the decay of this world, because, ladies and gentlemen, this world is decaying. It's heading down a slippery slope toward judgment and destruction. And God has you and I here to be a blessing of the grace of God in the lives of the people. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means they have received a good testimony. They've been commended for their testimony through faith. Receive not the promise. Look back at verse 2 of chapter 11. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. For by what? By faith. The elders obtained a good report. Now, look over at verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That is following Abraham and Sarah and his immediate descendants. And so now we come to the conclusion of this chapter, and again in verse 39, we see this idea of obtaining a good report through faith. And again, what we see here is we are seeing that the true reward for all is being united in Christ. As we talk about a promise here, this promise that is being referred to is the promise of a Redeemer. Is the promise of Jesus Christ. You see, all these folks in the Old Testament, they are looking forward to the Messiah. And as early as Genesis chapter 3, God declares there will be a deliverer. And that's a promise that the people continue to look for deliverance. It is the promise that these people did not see. And we see that they maintained a good testimony through faith. They did not receive this promise. They did not see Jesus Christ. God having provided some better thing for us. Interesting here that the church now is included here at the end of this chapter. As the author takes and brings all of us together. Those in the Old Testament before Christ and those after Christ. All of us hang upon one Jesus. He is the central focus of all of history. And God having provided some better thing for us. Remember the theme of Hebrews? Better? Jesus Christ is better? Jesus Christ is the best thing for those people in the Old Testament and for us. Because it's deliverance. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. That idea there is to be rendered full and complete. They were not rendered full and complete without Jesus Christ. And it was when Jesus Christ came and he paid the ultimate sacrifice upon the cross that fulfilled this promise for those in the Old Testament and brought hope to you and to me. The writer of Hebrews, in a very eloquent fashion, then continues, look at verse 12, or chapter 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, I want you to notice, dear ones, he is now taking in his attention and he is speaking directly to the church. Okay, I want you to catch this. And he is saying that we are compassed about, surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses. Well, who are those witnesses? These are all those people that he has declared beforehand that have testimonies of faithfulness. And this great cloud, these testimonies are now surrounding us and barraging our lives with, you can be faithful. You can live for Christ. You can please him. We have endured, and this chapter declares these truths to bolster our courage to be men and women of faith. So we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. He does not say what that weight is. He does not say what that sin is. But what he does say is that you and I need to free ourselves of the weights and the sins that so often trip us up and slow us down, that so often cause us to doubt, be lacking in our faith. Lay those things aside and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. And dear ones, this is so beautiful. Because this whole book, this letter, is about Jesus being better. And this whole chapter is about faith, faith, faith. But it all culminates in who? Jesus. It all comes to the central figure of history, Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. These people in the Old Testament, they were looking unto Jesus. Did they know it was Jesus and his name and all of that? No. Did they know when he was coming? No, not exactly. But they were looking for him. That was their promise, their hope of a deliverer. And you and I, we look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Dear ones, you and I have faith, have the opportunity to live by faith because of Jesus and because of the declarations that he has made, the declarations and the promises of God. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Faith lessons for life. We've gone through 15 or 16 different things that we can learn from this chapter about faith. Creation speaks of God when objectively examined. Acceptable worship exalts the sacrifice of life. Pleasing God is a profound testimony of faith. The unknown is always known by God. Faith involves contentment with the process. God's promises become life's greatest motivators. True faith demands a crisis of belief. Faith sees beyond the grave. Faith exalts life over law. Faith exalts God's values over worldly pleasures. Dynamic faith sees the invisible God. Faith is the difference between life and death. Faith without works is death. And tonight we looked at faithfulness demands personal sacrifice. True faith is a blessing to this world. And Jesus Christ is our true reward. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Thank you so much for being our God and our Savior. And God, even as we look at this chapter on faith, Lord, we are excited to see how it comes all back to focusing on you. Lord, this life has its challenges and its difficulties. But Lord, you have called us to live lives that are pleasing to you. And Lord, you have enabled folks to do that throughout history, to do it even unto death. And therefore, Lord, you have shared that with us to encourage us to do likewise. God, encourage your people and grant them strength as they go into this world full of challenges and heartbreak, hopelessness, and difficulties. And may they shine as lights in this world. May they be salt. May they be men and women of faith. May they be true blessings to this world. In Jesus' name, amen.